Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to read out of Jeremiah chapter 1 just to, for emphasis, the very first part of it. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I got a video. I texted my wife just now to get the, I always forget the age of my grandchildren. I forget my own age frequently, as many of you will know too, but got a video on Facebook. It was my youngest granddaughter who was 2.5 years old, and she was singing and dancing. And in our family, she's an instant star. We think she's the most talented thing in the world. And you can tell she feels special, at least while she's being videotaped for that video, because she's really enjoying being in the middle of that song. One of the best things you can do for your children is to make them feel special. I bring it up because I like to talk about my grandchildren, number one. But number two, we have a text that shows us someone who is special, and they're special to God. I continually forget the history of God acting in the world. Jeremiah got a lesson on the history of the world and on the history of himself, which is really remarkable. Can you imagine that? God gave him a history of his own life, and it turns out he was very special. God had chosen him before he was born. Just remarkable text. God had chosen him before he was born. Here's a true description of the human lifespan. We think about your birthday, and we think about when you're dead. And if you go to a cemetery and see the description of somebody's life, almost every time it has when they were born and when they died, it turns out your story doesn't start at birth. You are known by God before you're born. Jeremiah is famous now, but he was famous with God before he was born. The Bible tells us that's true of every one of us. Check out Psalm 139, and it says that before any day of our life ever existed, God had written all of them out. It was true of you too. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that God chose work for you to do before you were born. The Bible says in Romans 8:28 that even the things that happen to you happen for a good reason. It's a remarkable description of human life, and it changes who we are. We are known by God. We were famous. Think about it. We were famous before we ever even were. We were famous. Jeremiah had a purpose. His job was to be what God formed him to be. Around him, nations would be in massive turmoil, and he was not to be afraid in all that turmoil. The place of nations was not his job. I know God said, I'm going to stand you there, and you'll be tearing down and building up. But God made it very clear that he's the one that directs all of that. God has already called the job of managing the history of the world. He is the one who plants. He is the one who tears up. Jeremiah's job was to say the words God gave him, something Tommy pointed out very well in his children's lesson. Even with all the powers that would move across the face of the earth, there's a tremendous power in the Word of God. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The Bible says that God's Word is a light unto our path. It's another picture of part of the human lifespan. It turns out life doesn't even end when you die. It goes on. The Word of God carries a power to give a life that goes on after this life. Can you imagine the power you and I have? We know this word, and it has the power to change a life forever. In between those two ends of his life on this earth, God had other news. Jeremiah was going to be safe. He was safe. Even in the middle of this total and massive upheaval of nations, the powers that were ruling the world could not prevent God from guarding over him. He was safe because God would keep him safe. So what does it say for us? It always matters. What does it say for you? We can feel far away from those famous prophets of old and those legendary times. The Bible's important because it tells us about God. But what do these stories really have to do with us? I mean, really, how can we be brave when we aren't those famous people, and we aren't from way back when God was moving across the land? It's important to me because I just found out I might have only a week or so to live. My wife saw on Pinterest, I believe, that If you sit on the floor and you can get up from a sitting position without using your hands or your legs in any weird way, you're going to have a long life. So I sat on the floor. I couldn't get up using my hands. I finally had to crawl over to the stairs and climb up. I think so. We think we have maybe at the most 8 days. So whatever I'm going to do, I got to get done, is what I'm saying. And besides that, I have another reason for failure. I mean, I have lots of excuses. I can't even get up off the floor, so how can I do anything God wants me to do? Don't you think it's time we stop doing what Jeremiah did, stop making excuses about why we can't get anything done in life? There will always be things wrong. There will always be reasons for failure. There's almost always a reason every day of your existence. There's almost always a reason to be miserable. Those reasons might be based on very good fact, and you might have a good case. Is that really what you want to do with your life? Do you want to look for all the reasons you're failing? Do you want to look for all the reasons to be miserable? Don't go into that place. God has another plan. Pardon me. I think we've had that talk before. It's allergies and all that. Every word of the Bible describes a God who is in charge of history. It describes a God who is very active in the world. He tears down, He builds up, and every one of those things is aimed at one thing. God is calling a people into existence who will live forever, and they will never die, and no one will snatch them out of the hand of God. He's building a country that exists in another place, and it goes on forever, and there's only joy. Don't you want to be in that plan? How do you get into that plan of God? The same is true for us that was true for Jeremiah. God chose us before the foundations of the world. We are the chosen people of God. We are elected by God. We are predestined by God to be His people. We are not just in some place. We are not just in some time. We are planted into a certain place. We are placed into a certain time. I know you feel that this is very far from the truth. We are too afraid. We are too confused. We are too lost. We are too powerless. We are too ignorant. We are too inept. We are too young. These really are just lies we use to hide from our destiny. If we are the people of God, then we are destined by God to be in a place. We are chosen by God to be in a time. And all of those silly lies that we tell simply separate us from what God has already said is true. Comfort yourself at least with this thought. You aren't alone with your excuses. Whining is one of the most human things we do. Moses said to God, "I can't go to Egypt because I'm slow of speech." Gideon was sure he was not up to the task of delivering the people of God. Paul had to assure Timothy that he was not too young to be a pastor in that early church. And we know that every one of them went on to do amazing, heroic, impossible deeds. You could complain that you're not up to the task, but wouldn't you rather be a warrior who is brave and strong and unafraid? Wouldn't you like to be that person? Wouldn't you rather go on and do what God called you to do? What if the only thing that keeps you from being brave and bold and a warrior, what if the only thing that keeps you from all of that is you? What if we do not have to live in fear? What if we do not have to be worried about what we can accomplish? What if God has already chosen us and placed us and guarantees our safety? First of all, you're going to have to figure out that God is on your side. Hardest part of everything. So many memories flood our well-being. We have evidence against ourselves that we're failures, that we don't deserve the love of God. The story of your life has to be more than those memories of failure. It is changed by what happened that day on the cross and in the tomb, and it made everything different. If yesterday you broke a shoelace, if yesterday you got a haircut, and if yesterday you won $1 million on a local radio station, what story would you be telling today? What'd you do yesterday? Would you remember a broken shoelace? Would you remember a haircut? Or would you be shouting out, "I won $1 million. I won $1 million. The story of the cross changed everything in my life, and it's the story I remember. The Son of God washed away my sins. The Son of God saved me from hell and damnation. The Son of God went to heaven to prepare a home for me, a home for me. It's the big story of my life. Isn't that the one you want to be excited about? I have found in conversations with other pastors that there is an opinion that the church's lead message really must be that we are sinners. And I must admit, in a recent conversation, that I was accused of being too easy on the law and too pushy with the gospel. I stand guilty as charged, I suppose. But the biggest story I know about is the cross and Jesus and Easter, and I get excited about it, and it fills up my time, and it seems to me that we would be better off if we spent too much time in celebration of what has to be the greatest event in our lifetime. Now my life is different. God, who called everything into existence, continues to plant life in the world, and what matters is I'm one of those things He planted. He called me into existence. He called me into the family, and He has placed me into the world. Will you join me in expectations? Instead of excuses, God simply calls you not to be somebody else. He calls you just to be you, the way He designed you, the way He created you, to the place where He guided you. It's a burden to start every day and know that you wasted yesterday. And many times when I stand with you on a topic like this and we look at what God could do in our lives, we are flooded with regret because we haven't used life up until this moment as well as we could have. Perhaps the greatest burden that we have in this world is simply the regret that we haven't been everything we could have been. You had opportunities and you chose to go the wrong way, and now you're far from where your life could have been. You could have been better than you were, and the way back is lost somewhere in a past time, and you can't be young again, and you can't be free again, and you can't be fresh again, and you can't be energetic again, and you can't jump off the floor without using your hands. And again, there's a place to go when you can no longer manage excuses in your life. It's the first place you need to go. It's where you find a way to endure when everything you feel makes you afraid. And it's the real story of your life. It's the real one. Jesus took away the penalty of your failure, and He removed. I know it's impossible. The gift of Jesus the Messiah, His gift to you is that He removes your sins from the memory of God. I know it's absurd, but it is exactly what the Bible says. Forgiveness means God removes the memory of your sins from His mind. Now this is who you are. He knew you before you were born. He formed you in your mother's womb. He formed you to belong to Him. Wouldn't you want to be that person? Wouldn't you want to be where He wants you to be? Wouldn't you want to be doing what He calls you to do? I ask you to start over today. And tomorrow when you wake up and you spoiled what was left of today, I want you to start over again tomorrow. You can't do that to other people. You can't forgive the way He does. You and I, we remember and we sometimes hold grudges. God has the power to forget. God gives you that gift. You are somebody brand new. You have nothing to regret standing before God because God took away every sin. You have no failures to contemplate because God removed all the failures from your record. Let go of your history and trust His story for you. Perhaps everything you've been through, the things you regret that have made you miserable, maybe they have taken you where He needs a warrior to stand, and now you are that warrior. The power to be a strong force in the world has always been described as His word. We're not called to work miracles. We've not been chosen because we're perfect. We are charged with simply saying the truth. I was driving home this last week, and I heard on a local radio station a woman talking. Her husband is a Christian minister who has been arrested in Iran and sentenced to 8 years of prison in Iran. Have you seen the story on TV or heard about it? And this woman was talking on the radio, and I was really caught up in that because this kind of a text would really speak to someone who was arrested in a foreign country, and she was very disappointed because she felt like that the powers that be had not done enough to free him. And the local radio announcer asked her, well, what can we do? And I thought she would say, well, write your congressman or write your senator or write the president or do something. She said, I want you to pray. She said, that's what I cherish, is your prayer. And I got the very strong sense from her that she believed her husband was where God wanted him to be, that he was doing what God called him to do. Life is simpler when that's your plan. Not to figure it out, but simply to be where God wants you to be. The world around you can be turned upside down, but your plan stays the same. What are you going to do today? Today I'm going to do what God calls me to do. I keep looking at that video of my granddaughter singing and dancing. It's a song about the color red. She keeps spelling over and over again, R-E-D, R-E-D, I can spell red. And she's simply celebrating the fact that she can spell the letter red. We could learn a lot from children. They seem to know that celebration is a good thing to do. If it really is true that we're formed by God, and if it really is true that He has called us to be His people, and if it really is true that we're never going to die, but we're going to live forever in the joy that is heaven, then isn't that a good reason to celebrate? And it seems to be that that's how you begin to be what God calls you to be. You celebrate who you are. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.